Welcome to Money Mastery with your host, Amanda Mangum from Aspire Money Management. Achieving financial confidence means understanding how to navigate market changes, plan for retirement, and make smart money decisions. Money Mastery is here to guide you with strategies, insights, and tools designed to help you pursue your financial goals. Now let's get started with Money Mastery with your host, Amanda.
Hello, and welcome to Money Mastery. My name is Austin Thomas Meyer from Aspire Money Management. If you'd like to hear more about the information you're hearing today and the show, give us a call at 919-342-7715 or visit us online at www.aspiremoneymanagement.net. And while at the website, click on the radio page, check out past shows, and to subscribe to our program on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music. Today, we're talking about emergency funds, which are something that every household needs, but a surprising number don't have. And in today's economic climate, this conversation feels timelier than ever. We're drawing from a U.S. News and World Report article titled, "How Much Should You Save in an Emergency Fund? Here's What Financial Experts Say." It covers why these funds matter, how to size them correctly for your situation, and where to actually keep the money. And I'm delighted to have my co-host, Jacqueline, back with me today.
Well, thank you, Austin, for the great introduction. But I want to go back to you. I mean, welcome to the show. This is a first timer for you, and I know we're going to have you back next week as well. But for our listeners out there, why don't we, you know, introduce you? What do you do at Aspire Money Management, and maybe who you are?
Yeah, that's great. I appreciate it. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here for the first time. You know, I love working here at Aspire Management, Money Management. I'm a financial advisor, so I work with families, retirees, business owners to make sure they have financial plans in place so they can reach their goals in the best way possible. We're growing relationships here so we can do right by our clients and make sure they have clarity and confidence in their finances.
Well, very cool. And how long have you been there?
I've been with Aspire for about 3.5 months now, so relatively new, but excited to get working with their clients.
Well, super exciting. And fun fact for our listeners is that Austin and I actually got to meet in person when you came to Minnesota. So that was kind of fun. And you were spoiled rotten with a great flight, is what I heard from that trip.
Absolutely. I got lucky on that one.
Well, and I also know that Amanda, you know, likes to just throw you in to these podcasts. So you have no idea what you're getting yourself into, but hopefully I can make it as miserable as I can for you.
There we go. That's the goal. She's good at that.
Well, Austin, to bring it back to today's topic, you know, I think this is one of those fundamental topics that sometimes does get overshadowed by more sophisticated financial planning conversations, but it really should come first. You know, you can't build anything lasting on a shaky foundation. And for most households, an emergency fund is the foundation. So let's start with what's driving the urgency here. Why is this conversation especially relevant right now?
Well, you're right. It's all about the foundation. And the data from this article paints a pretty clear picture. A Gallup survey conducted in April this year and cited in the article found that 47% of American adults believe economic conditions are poor, and 73% say they're getting worse by the day. Those are significant numbers, and they reflect something a lot of people are feeling in their everyday lives. On top of that, inflation is still running at an elevated level. The article also references the April 26 Consumer Price Index that showed that all items rose 3.8% over the past 12 months. Gas prices surged more than 21% from February to March alone, which is a jarring number for anyone who drives to work. And food away from home, like restaurants and takeout, was up 3.6% year over year. The article also notes that unease about artificial intelligence is adding another layer of economic anxiety. At companies that are adopting AI, nearly a quarter of employees anticipate job elimination within 5 years, according to another Gallup poll. Whether that concern ultimately plays out to that timeline is an open question. But the anxiety itself is real, and it's one more reason why having a financial cushion, feels especially important right now.
Yeah. And when you layer all of that together, you know, inflation, job uncertainty, higher costs, it highlights just how vulnerable people could be without savings to fall back on. What do the numbers actually show about where Americans stand on this right now, Austin?
Honestly, the numbers are concerning. While there's some good news in there, when you dig in, the picture can be a lot less reassuring. On the positive side, the article cites an April 2026 survey by the Harris Poll found that 78% of Americans said that they have some cash set aside in savings or emergency fund. Now, that sounds encouraging, but the follow-up question is, what matters? How much do they actually have set aside? Only 24% of those surveyed have saved 3 to 6 months of essential living expenses, which is what most financial advisors consider the standard target. 20% have less than 3 months worth, and 22% have no emergency savings at all. Now, a separate 2026 survey from the U.S. News found that 43% of Americans don't have $1,000 readily available. One third said they couldn't cover a single month's expenses with their savings, and many others can't cover more than 3 months. So, while most people have something saved, a large portion of the population is one car repair, one medical bill, or one unexpected job loss away from genuine financial crisis.
Oof. I mean, that's a striking gap between perception and reality here, Austin. People feel like they're saving, but the amount isn't enough to actually protect them if something does go wrong.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And the unpredictable piece is what really matters here. We like to think we can see disruptions coming, but the reality is we just can't. A job loss rarely arrives with much warning. A medical emergency, by definition, isn't scheduled. A major appliance breaking down, a roof needing repairs, or a car that needs unexpected work, all are things that happen, and they tend to happen at the least convenient moments. That's why this article frames an emergency fund not just as a savings goal, but as a protective measure. When you have that cushion in place, you're able to navigate those moments without going into debt or derailing everything else you work for. And that peace of mind has real value beyond just the dollars in the account.
Yes. Well, let's talk through the actual math of this. How does someone figure out the right number for their own situation?
Right. Let's dive in. The process starts with your essential monthly expenses. And I want to be specific here because this isn't about your total spending. It's about what you genuinely need to get through the month. We're talking about your house costs, your utilities, food, transportation, healthcare, and insurance premiums. Not the streaming services and not the gym membership you're thinking about canceling anyway. These are just the core expenses that don't go away when times get tight. Once you have that number, you can multiply it by the number of months you want to have covered. Standard recommendation is 3 to 6 months, and that's a reasonable target for most households where both partners are employed, income is relatively stable, and job security is solid.
Well, but the article notes that one size does not fit all, doesn't it, Austin?
That's right. Yeah, if you're self-employed, freelance, or working in a field where income can vary significantly from month to month, the guidance is to aim for 6 to 12 months. A single-income household faces similar vulnerability if that one income source disappears. The buffer needs to be bigger to give you enough runway to cover. On the other end of the spectrum, if you have a very strong job security, low fixed expenses, or significant other assets you could access in an emergency, 1 to 3 months of a target might be a more reasonable starting point rather than a finishing line.
Great point, Austin. And the article also provides some examples of what those targets actually look like in dollar terms. They're helpful for putting this in context.
They really are. For a single employed person with no dependents and roughly $1,600 in essential monthly expenses, a 3 month target would be around $4,800. And a 6 month target would be around $9,600. For a couple where both partners work, no dependents, and $2,000 in monthly expenses, the targets are $6,000 and $12,000 respectively. For a self-employed individual with no dependents and $3,000 in monthly essential costs, these numbers jump to $9,000 for 3 months and $18,000 for six. These figures aren't meant to intimidate. They're meant to give people something concrete to work towards. And the most important thing the article emphasizes is that you don't have to hit those numbers all at once. Something is always better than nothing. If you can manage right now $25 a week, that's $1,300 over a year. That's a start, and starting matters.
Absolutely. It just starts somewhere. But Austin, before we go any further with this conversation, let's give out your contact information.
Of course. Yeah. If today's conversation makes you think about where you stand financially, whether you have the right cushion in place, how your savings fit into your broader plan, give us a call at 919-342-7715 or visit us at aspiremoneymanagement.net to set up a complimentary consultation. We're here to help you think through exactly these kind of questions.
Well, all right, Austin, thank you. Now, let's get into the saving strategies, because knowing the target's one thing, but actually building toward it is another.
The article makes an important point that I think surprises people. You can save even when money is tight. It might not feel like it, but the strategy shifts based on what you have to work with. When income is strong, the trap is lifestyle creep. It's human nature to spend up to whatever your income is. In good times, you have to be intentional. Don't wait to see what's left over at the end of the month. Automate the savings at the beginning. Decide on a set amount, have it transferred automatically to a dedicated account right after your paycheck hits, and treat it like any other bill. It doesn't give you a chance to talk yourself out of it.
Well, and when money is tighter, the approach is different, right?
It does. Start by building a realistic budget. Look at your net income. Subtract your fixed costs you can't negotiate, like housing, utilities, and transportation, and then examine the discretionary spending. The article is candid that there's almost always some fluff to cut, at least temporarily. Maybe that's dining out less, pausing a subscription, or making one fewer impulse purchase per week. Even small amounts add up. The article cites an example of putting away $25 a week when money is tight. That might feel trivial, but that's $1,300 a year, and it builds the habit of saving, which matters just as much as the balance.
Well, and the automation piece really does seem like the key to making it stick. What other strategies does the article mention on this?
It's important. There's a few worth highlighting. One is what the article calls finding a saving buddy, which is simply someone in your circle who is also working towards a saving goal, where you can share strategies, talk through obstacles, and keep each other accountable. It sounds simple, but having someone else invested in your progress changes the dynamic. Another tip is to monitor your fund quarterly rather than constantly. If you're watching the balance go up in small daily increments, it can feel discouraging. Checking in once a quarter lets you see meaningful growth and stay motivated.
Well, and the article also suggests giving your emergency fund a bit of a jump start with a temporary income source.
That's right. That means a short-term side gig like delivery work, freelancing, or dog walking, and committing all these earnings directly to the emergency account until you hit a threshold. The idea is to treat it as a time-limited push, not a permanent lifestyle change. Another thing to note is that when you get a bonus, a tax refund, or unexpected money, don't spend all of it. Split it. Have some fun with part of it, but send the rest straight to the emergency fund. You won't miss money you don't have to begin with.
Good point. And this is all good practical guidance here, Austin. Let's shift to where the money should actually live, because it sounds like the wrong account could cost you long term.
It can in a couple different ways. The first is putting emergency savings somewhere too inaccessible. If you have to wait a week to get your money, or if there's significant penalties for taking it out, that defeats the purpose. An emergency doesn't wait for your funds to clear. The second mistake is putting emergency savings somewhere too volatile, or on the other end, somewhere that earns almost nothing when you could be doing better.
Well, and what are some potential options here, Austin?
Thankfully, there are several. A basic savings account is the simplest starting point. It's easy to set up. There's no volatility. It's FDIC insured, and the funds are immediately accessible. The downside is that the interest rates on traditional savings accounts are minimal and may not keep pace with inflation. A high-yield savings account solves the interest rate problem. You'll earn significantly more than a standard savings account while still maintaining that FDIC protection and penalty-free access. The trade-off is that transfers can take 1 to 3 business days. So it's not quite as instant as a checking account, but for most emergencies, a couple days is workable. A money market account is another solid option. It typically offers better rates than a regular savings account and carries FDIC insurance. Some accounts limit the number of transactions per month, so it's worth checking the terms.
Well, what about some of the options that lean a little more toward the investment side?
Yeah, the article covers those too, and there are a few worth knowing about, with some important caveats. Money market mutual funds, which are different from bank money market accounts, offer competitive rates and are generally very safe. They're not FDIC insured, though, and like any fund, the interest rate can drop if the Federal Reserve cuts rates. Short-term treasury bills or notes are another option. They're backed by the U.S. government, carry very low risk, and typically pay more than a traditional savings account. The downside is that it can take a few days to sell them. And if you sell before maturity, you could lose money.
Well, another thing that comes to mind here is certificates of deposit. So what about CDs?
Of course, certificates of deposit, or what they call CDs, especially 3 or 6 month CDs, can work for a portion of your emergency fund if you build what's sometimes called a CD ladder, where different portions mature at different intervals. The highest interest rate comes with a catch. If you break the term early, you'll pay a penalty. The key principle across all of these is that emergency savings need to be accessible without major friction or risk of loss. A little interest is great, but the primary job of these funds is to be there when you need them. And one thing the article specifically flags is that a cryptocurrency account isn't where you park your emergency fund. The potential upside is real, but so is the potential for rapid loss. That's not a risk worth taking with money you may need to pay rent.
Yeah, good point. You know, Austin, what I keep coming back to is, as we go through all of this, is that an emergency fund isn't really about fear. It's truly about freedom. You know, when you have that cushion, it gives you options. When you don't, every unexpected event becomes a crisis.
That's a good way to frame it, Jacqueline. And I'd add that the peace of mind has value that doesn't show up in any spreadsheet. When you know the money is there, you carry less financial anxiety day to day. You can make career decisions, family decisions, and financial decisions from a position of stability rather than desperation. Giving people choices is what financial planning is ultimately about. And an emergency fund is a first choice that makes all other decisions possible. A financial services professional can help you figure out the right target for your situation, where to keep those funds, and how they fit into the bigger picture of your financial life.
Well, I'm going to do a quick recap before we give out your contact information one more time here, Austin. You know, let's start with the current economic environment, which includes elevated inflation, job uncertainty, and rising costs. It truly makes an emergency fund more important than ever. Most Americans have something saved, but the majority don't have enough to cover those 3 to 6 months of essential expenses, which is the standard benchmark. But to find your target, add up your essential monthly expenses, including those housing, utility, food, transportation, healthcare, and insurance, and then multiply that by the number of months that you want to cover. Freelancers and single income households should aim for 6 to 12 months. You know, people with strong job security may be fine starting with the 1 to 3. But building the fund works in both good times and lean ones. You know, automation can be the most effective tool. When money is tight, start small and stay consistent, because even that $25 a week adds up and builds the habit. Tax refunds, bonuses, and temporary income boosts are all opportunities to accelerate the progress. And as far as where to keep the money, you know, the high yield savings accounts, money market accounts, and short-term treasuries are all solid options. The money, just remember, should be accessible, protected from significant loss, and separate from your everyday checking account.
Well put, Jacqueline. And the bottom line is simply this. If you don't have an emergency fund in place, starting today, even with a small amount, is better than waiting for the perfect moment. Because a perfect moment is usually right before unexpected things happen. And by then, it's too late. If you'd like to talk through where you stand or how an emergency fund fits in your overall picture, give us a call at 919-342-7715 or visit us online at www.aspiremoneymanagement.net. And we can schedule you a complimentary consultation. We'd love to help. We'll see you next week for another episode of Money Mastery. Take care, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Money Mastery with Amanda Mangum from Aspire Money Management. If you're ready to take the next step toward a stronger financial future, contact Amanda and her team today at 919-342-7715 or visit aspiremoneymanagement.net. Be sure to tune in next week for more financial strategies and insights right here on Money Mastery.